coming to you from Classic City,
the capital of the Bulldog Nation.
It's time for another edition of the podcast designed for the most diehard Georgia fans in the country.
Here are your hosts,
Tyler and Charlie.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Glory UGA podcast. I'm your host, Tyler, and back with me today to make our Week 7 Picks of the Week is the superstar of the podcast, Charlie. Charlie, how you doing?
Doing all right today, thank you.
A little smirk. I know that is, I don't know if that came through on the podcast here, but there's a smirk with you. I'm doing okay.
I was trying to take one last bite of my
snack. Oh, you weren't prepared to actually start talking.
I was not. I didn't think we were starting that quickly.
Charlie, this is business time. We're not eating. This is not eating time.
It's always time to
You're recording a podcast. How are you snacking?
I feel like that shouldn't
be allowed to happen. Yes, you are. You just put something in your mouth. Don't lie to our listeners.
I'm not lying.
You're clearly lying.
I'm done.
No, you're not done.
I'm done. Uh-huh. I will not eat anymore. Well, I don't want to affect the listeners.
As to the podcast, have you looked back at the picks from last week?
Yes, but now it's later in the week and I've pretty much forgotten.
You texted me on Saturday and you're like, this is not a good week for us. But it actually kind of wasn't terrible. You actually had a pretty good week.
Meh.
I think you just forgot who you picked.
No, I had it on my phone and I was tracking it all day.
I mean, I thought
it was just like, really?
I mean, honestly, if you look at it, well, I think I get what you're saying is we were so close to a perfect week. We had a few bad beats go against us. But honestly, I know at the beginning of these episodes, it's our responsibility to take ownership of our bad picks. Like, do you feel like you had any, like, just, like, atrociously bad picks?
No, they were just all good games.
Yeah, and I know you say, well, Alabama, like, you picked Alabama to cover 18 and they lost the game. Yeah, but I still stand by.
So did everyone else.
Yeah, I stand by that pick. I would make that pick again. Alabama wins that game probably 8 out of 10 times. And it just happened to be one of the two that they lost. And they lost it. So that's fine. They lost. But, like, I still stand by that pick. I don't feel bad about it. We actually had, you and I both had Texas to win straight up as an upset special. And then the Horns just,
I was listening to a podcast and somebody said that that entire game was like Texas's entire season. Which is true.
I think it's like
they were scoring, they were doing really well, Texas is back, and then they killed themselves.
I think it's like Texas's existence over the past decade on loop. Like, that's what it was,
that's what
right?
I mean.
Hey, we're back. No. We're not back, right? And it screwed us in the process because you and I were both on the Horns, not just to cover, but to win outright. And the way it played out, not only did they not win outright, but they didn't even cover, which sucks.
They did not.
So, but we were still close on them. I don't feel bad about that. Then Virginia Tech also let that potential upset, a slight upset, but an upset nonetheless, over Notre Dame slip away late as they end up losing by 3 at home to Notre Dame. They had that game too, and they just ended up blowing. It was a very close one there. Bama, we just got wrong, but, well, we weren't even close with Bama. But that just, it happens sometimes. It happens.
How about that Iowa-Penn State game?
Uh-huh. What about it?
Well, I mean, I got it right.
As far as I'm concerned, I got that game right.
Did you?
I got that game right. I had that game nailed because
Pretty sure there's an X on your sheet.
Okay, yeah, there is, I guess, officially, technically. And Charlie, you're eating again. You're lying to our listeners. Are you lying to yourself now?
Last one, no more.
Last one. Okay, anyway, Sean Clifford had Penn State up 17-3 in that game. They were going to beat Iowa going away by 2+ scores in that game if Sean Clifford does not get hurt.
But they didn't.
But he got hurt. So, I'm fine. Like, it happens. It's football. It happens. And, hey, Will Levis transferring, this transfer portal, killed Penn State. Will Levis in that game, if he's still on that team, they win. But their quarterback, literally, their third-string quarterback, could not complete a forward pass. So, yeah, I lost that one, but I stand by the pick. Penn State is a better football team. If they played that game again and Sean Clifford played the entire game, Sean Clifford leads that team to victory, and I think by multiple scores. So, yeah, you won. Good for you. Great. But can you tell I'm a little annoyed by that?
Yeah.
Annoyed. I raced home on Saturday night to watch all the other games after the Auburn game, and that was the first one I pulled up. Because I knew that was like our one difference, right, last week?
Yeah.
Just that one game. So I was all in that game. They were up a couple scores early, and I was feeling good. And then Clifford mysteriously disappears from the game. It wasn't really a moment where it looked like he got hurt, but he's gone, and that sucked. But, Charlie, I will admit, you did have a very good week last week. The only difference we had, I guess, was that Iowa-Penn State game. But I'll give you credit. You nailed it. At the end of the day, I thought I had it, but you nailed it. You ended up going 6-3 on the week because we had that bonus game, the Nebraska-Michigan bonus game. While I went 5-4 against the spread, just one game behind you last week. So that brings our season totals to 25-24 for yourself, Charlie. So that week last week bumped you up over 500. It's going to feel good.
What is it again? Say it again.
You're 25-24.
Well,
25-24. I am now 26-23. I'm a game ahead of you.
Oh,
you gained a game. You gained a game.
That's way better than what I thought I was.
Do you not, Charlie? Are you while we record these episodes every week? You were 6-3 last week. You had a good week. That's why when you were texting me, I was like, "What are you talking about? You're doing well."
Yeah, but now it's Wednesday and I've forgotten.
Oh, okay. That's not scary at all.
I know, it's terrifying.
Goldfish over here. But yeah, so you're 25-24, I'm 26-23 against the spread. And again, like, we got some really bad beats with our upset specials last week with Texas and Nebraska failing to hold on to those late leads. But close losses are still losses, and that dropped me to 6-3 on the year with my upset specials. Charlie, you're now 3-3 in your upset specials. I did, however, get back on track with my locks as Kentucky dominated LSU. That was my lock of the week. I did throw in a bonus lock. I went out on a limb and locked up Nebraska in a bonus pick, and they let me down. They let me down. Nebraska did what Nebraska does. Nebraska was winning that football game. You guys saw Nebraska was up. They should have won the game.
Doesn't matter if they were.
You're right. It doesn't matter. They should have won the game. I mean, did you see how they lost with...
Doesn't matter.
With poor Adrian Martinez. He tries so hard and just can't help himself making these like catastrophic mistakes and end up blowing the game late. But again, I still feel good about that pick. I would pick that game again. They just, at the end of the day, Michigan made the plays when they had to and didn't make the mistakes like Nebraska did. But they let me down there, so... If you look at this now, I am 6-3 in my locks of the week. And Charlie, I don't know, we've like lost count of your, like, some weeks you have your locks, some weeks you don't. Who knows?
I
know. So you're now 3-3 with your locks of the week. So you're 3-3 with your locks and with your upset specials.
Okay.
So you're 500 there.
What are you?
I am 6-3 and now six and three.
Why would it be two if I remember?
My locks were going great, and I shouldn't have put the bonus pick in there.
Oh yeah, I don't have a lock for this week.
I threw Nebraska in there because I felt so good about it. Well, oh my god, it's my fault, Charlie. I didn't remind you. It's my fault.
It's okay.
I shouldn't have to remind you, but
I'll recap it at the end of the episode.
As you know, I will lock
circled.
Will you have it by the end of the episode?
Yep.
I'm sure you're gonna put a lot of thought into it.
I am.
Clearly.
I am.
Clearly. Our listeners are very impressed.
I'm not.
Very, very impressed. And they're very much going to pay a lot of attention to your lock and upset special because you put so much time into it.
I do. I'm going to think about it.
You're going to think hard about it.
I've been thinking about it. I just haven't made a decision.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's
half hour.
I mean, half hour. Yeah, I'll talk. I mean, maybe I'll talk a little more than half hour.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm trying to give our listeners some content.
I'll take the over.
They want content. They want content. That's fine. Take the over. Yeah, I mean, you're right. You'll win that bet, but that's okay. Real quickly, before we get to our picks, though, in our Pick'em League, Daniel B. has ascended to first place with a 47-13 record. Very impressive. Followed by Jimmy and Hanuser? I don't know if that's just my like initials there, but Hanusr coming in third place. So got some guys doing a really good job there, and we got about half the season left, so there's plenty of time for people to get caught back up and move up that leaderboard. And that includes yourself, Charlie, even though you went 2 weeks without... You went 2 weeks making picks with the wrong account.
No, it was only 1 week.
I feel like it was two.
I think it was only one.
I'm fairly certain there was
I'm
2 weeks
sure
in a row.
I'm pretty sure it was only one, because the one that I should not have used is only like five games.
Okay.
It's only 1 week.
All right. Maybe there's 1 week you just didn't pick at all?
No.
There was one week where I didn't actually like do my confidence picks and like move them around. That was my fault. And so that really hurt me badly. But I'm still trying to come back from that. So you're not alone there. I messed it up 1 week.
What place are you in?
I don't even know. I honestly, I'm still making the picks. I didn't pay attention because that 1 week I just kind of let it go and it was my fault. And so now
I think I'm 36.
I don't even know where I am.
I think I'm 36.
Okay. Well, yeah. After
you were 35 last week.
Yeah. After that week where I just didn't do my picks right, it just screwed me up. And that.
After blaming me.
Well, you didn't do it right for 2 weeks. I'm pretty sure. I didn't do it right for 1 week.
No, it was one.
I feel like it was two for you. But okay, well, I'll take your word for it. You're smarter than me, so we'll go with it. You are the star of the show. I have to defer to you. So there's that. All right. We got some picks to make. Where are we starting things today?
We're going to start today off with a SEC cross-division rivalry, which ended with an LSU win last year after Marco Wilson's infamous shoe-throwing incident. The Tigers lost to Kentucky last weekend, 42-21, and it isn't entirely out of the question that the 3-3 Tigers will not get another SEC win.
I might actually take that and say they're not going to win again.
I know. LSU was barely able to beat Mississippi State a couple weeks ago, but now with Florida, Ole Miss, Alabama, Arkansas, and Texas A&M left on their schedule, it's just not... No.
How does he still have a job? How does Coach O still have a job right now?
We'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. Florida is 4-2 with losses to Alabama and Kentucky. I didn't think Florida would be great this year, but I think they'll be good enough to move the ball against LSU, especially since this will be an 11 o'clock kickoff in Louisiana.
But the Cajuns love that.
Take the home crowd out of it a little bit. Mm-hmm. The spread is 10.5, and I really don't want to pick Florida to cover because, well, I hate the Gators.
Well, it's Florida. We don't want to ever pick the Florida Gators.
But I guess I have to because LSU... This team has just quit on Coach O.
I totally agree. And rightfully so. They have quit on Coach O.
Especially after last week where he said he was going to take that guy down to the bayou.
Yeah, I mean, what the guy said was out of line. And he was trying to get a rise out of Coach O. Coach O was dumb enough to play right into it. He was dumb enough to play right into it. It's like, just, dude, just don't. You're already on thin ice as it is. Like, you can't afford these idiotic mistakes, man. Like, just be a professional. So you're taking Florida?
Yes.
To cover? Yeah, before the season when we did our predictions episode, I will own it. I picked LSU to win this football game. We did our helmet schedule picks, went up and down the schedule for each and every team, and picked every single game that we played in the SEC this year, or by SEC games, SEC teams. And in this game, I picked LSU to win. But I'm man enough to admit it. I was dumb. I was dumb, Charlie. That was a dumb pick, because that ain't happening. LSU is not winning this football game. You're right, I agree. LSU has just flat out quit on Coach O. He has lost the locker room. That's apparent to anyone who's watching them play. Just he looks helpless over there on the sideline. He has no idea what's going on and what he can do to fix the team. And now, with the injury news coming out this week that Kayshon Boutte, their star wide receiver, is out for the season, that now means their best player on offense, Boutte, and their best player on defense, Derek Stingley, they're now both out for the season. Woo, Charlie, that's tough. On top of the fact their team has just quit on their coach. They also have no run game to speak of whatsoever. Florida isn't, like, in my opinion, I don't think Florida is really all that great themselves. I think they are a good team, but they're certainly not great. And Death Valley is obviously not an easy place to go play and try to leave there with a win, but this is not Death Valley at night. And the win has clearly been taken out of the Tiger sails with how this season has gone to this point. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if that stadium isn't full on Saturday. Charlie, like, would that be crazy if you turn that game on? You're like, wow, there are blocks of empty seats there.
Well, aren't they still doing the you have to have your vaccine card?
Or No, they stopped it. They stopped it starting this week.
Because it was
starting
way
this week.
Too difficult, because
it was no, it was a major problem in the stands. Plus, like, there's just no need for that.
Well, I
as far
mean,
as I mean, I don't
yes,
get into that, but
cause
yes,
it's going to cause major issues. Like,
yeah,
and people were probably I mean, I would not.
Well,
want
what I mean, they're looking around the conference saying no other SEC team is doing this. Why are we doing it?
And but also, I'm sure the fans would be annoyed because if they're not vaccinated, then they're paying to get a test. That's expensive.
Sure, absolutely. It's just, yeah, it's just unfeasible. So, yeah, they're not doing that. But I still, I wouldn't be shocked. You know, like, it's a tailgate. It's early. They're not good. They probably don't expect to win this football game. The best player on offense, best player on defense are out. They are quitting on Coach O. The fans have quit on Coach O. I wouldn't be shocked that stadium is just not full on Saturday. So I don't think there's going to be that significant of a home field advantage. LSU has issues stopping the run. Let's go from a scheme standpoint here. They can't stop the run. Florida's number one in the league in rushing offense. It's just not a good matchup. So on top of that, I mean, LSU's falling apart. It's a bad matchup. So, Charlie, I'm with you. I hate picking Florida. I never, you know, I want to get my picks right. So it means I kind of have to, like, root for those teams to win. And I never want to root for Florida. I always feel dirty rooting for Florida. But I want to be right. And Florida's the right pick here. So give me Florida to win, obviously, and also cover the 10.5. I don't love the hook, but still give me the Gators to cover 10.5. Probably win by 2+ touchdowns.
Okay, well, good old Bo Nix was incapable of leading Auburn to a win last weekend when the Dogs were in town. And now he has to lead the Tigers on the road as a 3.5-point underdog against Sam Pittman's Razorbacks. The Razorbacks lost in heartbreaking fashion last weekend at Ole Miss when they failed to convert a late 2-point conversion attempt. The Razorbacks are 4-2, but they've lost two straight and are really looking forward.
They're trying to get that momentum back.
Exactly.
Get that magic back.
Yep. Don't forget about the revenge factor in this one, because last year, the Hogs were flat out robbed.
They got screwed.
Of a win last year.
Good old SEC Auburn. Officiating, baby.
So I know that Sam Pittman has been all over Twitter encouraging people to get there, be early, be loud. Taking a note out of Kirby's book, I guess.
Can I interrupt you for a second? Sorry.
Sure.
I just want one more second to, one more chance to bash Bo Nix. So talking crap about us and how Georgia gets all these calls. That was Georgia on that pass interference, right? Or what he thought should have been pass interference on that fourth down play right before the halftime. We never get any calls. Oh, poor pitiful us. You literally stole a game from Arkansas because the officials were so terrible, they gave you that game last year. You stole that game for them. It was clearly a fumble. So don't tell me that Auburn and Bo Nix don't get calls. What a freaking joke. Sorry, go ahead.
Also, let's not forget that Bo Nix is terrible on the road.
He is very, very bad on the road.
So I definitely think Arkansas will walk away with a W, and I think that they will also cover the points. So I'm going with the Hogs.
The Hogs?
The Hogs.
The Hogs. You're going with the Hogs, baby.
The accent comes out.
The Dogs, the Hogs. Yeah, it's all right. It's all good. I didn't know you had that accent in you. Interesting. I don't know where that came from.
Move along.
I'm excited to watch this one. I am. I think this is going to be an interesting game. Because I think these are two pretty evenly matched teams. I think they're built similarly. Oh, I got it right. That's a word that's tough for me. I got it. Similarly. Let's go. But they're both coming off recent beatdowns courtesy of your Georgia Bulldogs. Now, we did expose the problems that a good run game poses for that Arkansas 3-2-6 defensive scheme. And despite what we did to them last week, Auburn does run the ball well, and they could have some success on Saturday. I could certainly see that happening. But when it comes down to it, Charlie, you're exactly right. I'm glad you said it. I just don't trust Bo Nix on the road. I don't trust him anywhere. Certainly don't trust him on the road. I know the LSU game happened, and everyone wants to give him credit. Oh, Bo Nix, it was the Bo Nix magic. Bo Nix was not good in that football game. He was not good. He was under 60% completion percentage. Yeah, there was a little backyard bow match when he did his little loop-de-loop, run around, do whatever he wants to do in his backyard. But you can't count on that week in and week out. I do think these are two pretty evenly matched teams, but the Bo Nix road factor and the home crowd puts the Hogs over the top. You're right, Charlie. There is a little revenge factor here as well. So give me Arkansas to win and cover the 3.5 at home.
Arkansas?
Arkansas. Hogs, as you said.
All right. Well. Our next game has Jimbo Fisher and his Aggies going to Mizzou after their astonishing win over Bama last weekend.
Astonishing. It really was.
Yeah.
I mean, that was where did that come from? Yeah.
Yeah. Jimbo is an experienced coach, and hopefully he's been able to keep his players focused. We know Mizzou is really struggling on defense this season, but despite the win over Bama, the Aggies still aren't exactly lighting it up offensively with Zach Calzada at quarterback and a bunch of inexperience on the offensive line. However, I think that with Zach Calzada getting all the reps the past few weeks...
He's growing. He's getting better. He's improving.
He's getting better.
He's improving. He's still not great, but he's improving.
The current line is favoring A&M by 8.5, and I think I'm going to take A&M to cover it.
Yeah, I like that pick, Charlie. This Missouri defense, I don't know if you've actually got a chance to watch Missouri at all this year. This Missouri defense is really hard to watch, especially for an old defensive guy like myself. It is just a hard watch. Charlie, they are dead last. 130th out of 130 teams in the FBS, Missouri's dead last in all of college football in rush defense. And yeah, A&M has had some issues on the offensive line. They got some inexperienced players there up front, got some young guys, but they still have two of the best running backs in the SEC in Spiller and A-Chain, and that's just a bad matchup. That's a tough matchup for Missouri. And the Missouri offense has been good. I mean, Tyler Beatty is a stud at running back. I mean, that's an NFL player right there. They're throwing for roughly 300 yards a game. But the only way Missouri can win right now is in a shootout. And I don't think the A&M defense will allow this to become a shootout. I still believe this A&M defense is good. They're not an elite defense, but they're like just a hair away from that. They're just a shade behind that. They're very, very good. And I'm with you, Charlie. I think Calzada is improving. And I think he's going to be a good quarterback. He has really flashed some high-level skills. He's just not there yet. He's young. He's inexperienced. You got to take your lumps as a young, inexperienced quarterback. And because of that, he's been up and down. And that's why that team has been up and down. And that's why they've lost some games they shouldn't have lost based on their talent edge in those games against teams like Arkansas and Mississippi State. So there's always that risk with him at quarterback. And you have to worry about the letdown factor here, obviously coming off the big win at home against Alabama. But I go back to what I said earlier. It's just a bad, bad matchup for Mizzou. Every team's a bad matchup for Missouri because if you have a pulse, if you have a running back that Hart is actually beating, he's probably going to rush for over 100 against them. And A&M has two of the best in the conference. Bad matchup. If your rush defense is 130th in the country, I just can't pick you to cover anything. 8.5 is, I mean, that's a lot of points for a team that still struggles to consistently move the football on offense. But I just think Missouri's that bad on defense. A&M really can run the football when they commit to it. I think clearly they're going to commit to it here, and I think they win this game by 10+. So give me A&M to win and cover the 8.5.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Okay. Texas enters this week licking their wounds after blowing a 21-point lead in a wild loss to Oklahoma last weekend. After the first half, I thought we both nailed the upset special.
I was celebrating, man. Thought we had it.
Not so much. And this week, the Longhorns welcome in the Oklahoma State Cowboys, who may be the quietest undefeated team left in America. Seriously.
I think you could make that argument.
How many people know that the Pokes were still undefeated?
Yeah, they're 5-0, still undefeated. Well, that's not common knowledge, and no one talks about them.
This game also has serious Big 12 title game implications. Those two spots in the Big 12 title game are very much up for grabs still, and a win in this game would be a big shot in the arm for both teams' chances. This is a big letdown spot for Texas, in my opinion, but the Horns are still favored by 5.5 at home. I really don't know. I was still thinking about this. Currently thinking about it.
You're probably like a lot of people, you haven't paid attention to Oklahoma State because they haven't really played much of anybody and they've kind of been off the radar.
I don't know how Texas is going to react to what happened last
week. It could be a letdown spot, like you said, or it could be like they're just pissed off and want to come back and like take out some frustration on somebody. And that somebody might just be the Cowboys.
But can they do it in a controlled fashion to where they actually win?
We're going to find out. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. They haven't been in this spot under Sarkisian. We'll find out. I think there's a good chance it will be the case, but we don't know.
I think they're going to win, but I'm going to take Oklahoma State to cover.
Okay, 5.5? All right. Yeah, Oklahoma State, I'll say this for them. You're right, Charlie. They're a very quietly undefeated team. And I'll give them credit. They've done what they've had to do. It's almost like Kentucky in a way. Like Kentucky has beaten who they've had to beat. They're undefeated. Great job. Good for you. Kudos. But are you really, really an elite team? Are you really that good? Are you really like a top 10 level team? And if you look at Oklahoma State, yeah, they're undefeated, but they're only plus 365 in total yards differential, which is okay. It's fine. That doesn't scream 5-0. Being plus 365 screams like 3-2. That's like typically a 3-2 team. So what that tells me is they've gotten some breaks along the way. They haven't played really a tough schedule. I mean, they defeated Southwest Missouri State, Boise State, and Tulsa by a combined 13 points. They're doing just enough to get by. 5-0 is 5-0, sure, but you're doing just enough to get by. It's been all defense for Okie State this season. They're top 20 in the country, giving up 305 yards a game, top 25 in scoring defense. But their offense, which is, this is the weird thing. Normally, Oklahoma State traditionally has gotten it done with offense, and defense is always the bugaboo. It's always the issue. But this year, it's kind of reversed. Their offense is just a far cry from the high-flying offenses of yesteryear there in Stillwater. They're only 85th nationally in the country, only averaging 375 yards a game. Quarterback Spencer Sanders, like, he's back for his third year as a starter, but I mean, he's regressed. His numbers are nowhere near what they've been in the past, and you have to believe a lot of that's because you don't have guys like Chuba Hubbard and Tylan Wallace. You just don't have those playmakers around him. And look, as an old defensive guy, I love great defense. I really do, but I still believe you have to be able to score to win football games, and I'm especially against teams that are more talented than you, because Texas is more talented than Oklahoma State, and I'm just not sure Oklahoma State can do that. I'm not sure they can just outscore Texas. You're right, Charlie. Texas could be in a letdown spot here. I can't discount that possibility. But I also think this could be one of those games where they just come out and take out their frustrations and take it to the Cowboys. Casey Thompson at quarterback has taken this Texas offense to a new level. That wasn't the problem for them on Saturday or last week against Oklahoma. It was defensively that was the issue. And I just don't think Oklahoma State's on the level of Oklahoma with the playmakers they have to be able to challenge Texas like that. So I think the combination of Thompson with Bijan Robinson, who is the best running back in America as far as the running backs I've seen at least, I think that combination would be too much for Oklahoma State. I think Texas hands the Pokes their first loss of the year, and I like them to cover the 5.5 at home. I want to lock this up. I really want to lock this up. I might come back to it. I'm not going to lock it up yet. I'm going to come back to it potentially.
Oh, you mean you haven't made all of your decisions yet?
No, I mean, I have a lock in mind that I'm going to go with, but I might also lock this
one up. Well, sure, so do I. I'm just not going to say it until the end of the show.
Okay, Charlie. You're better than me.
I mean, who did you pick for the Texas A&M Mizzou game?
I picked Texas A&M, Charlie.
Texas A&M, got it.
I think I went over that about 5 minutes ago.
You did, but I forgot to write it down because I was trying to move on to the next game.
So much going on. You're right. Yep. So, a lot of moving parts here.
Well, we all know Nick Saban lost to his former assistant coach Jimbo Fisher last Saturday, but I can guarantee that Saban has made his players pay for it this week. The Tide are traveling to Starkville this weekend, and I feel bad for Mike Leach's team because there will be no mercy after how they blew the game last weekend.
Alabama, just, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. He will have their attention. He will have their attention for sure.
Mississippi State did beat Texas A&M 2 weeks ago and had a bye last weekend, giving them some extra time to prepare for Alabama, but it just won't be enough. Will it be enough to cover the 17 points? That's the real question. I think Alabama lost. They are going to want to come out and prove themselves. Because now they have a loss. So
well, they have proven themselves. Everybody...
Well, they have, but they have to continue to if they want to be in the playoff conversation.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah.
I mean, fair. Who do they have left to play?
Because you got Cincinnati sitting there undefeated. Right. Probably likely going to go undefeated, and they're not going to play anybody. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, I think it'll be, yep, they'll cover. I'm going with Alabama.
Cover the 17. All right, I see where you're going there. Now, I thought this a couple weeks ago. When I saw this game on the schedule, really after I watched Mississippi State play Texas A&M, I thought this would be a tricky spot for Bama prior to what happened last weekend in College Station. But last Saturday night's results made sneaking up on Bama a lot harder for the Bizarro Dogs. Mississippi State's 3-2, but if you've watched them play, they are much better than that record. They very easily could be 5-0. There's some context there. They lost to Memphis, yeah, but they outgained Memphis by 222 yards, and the SEC came out and essentially said, yeah, we stole that game from you because the SEC officials are so bad. It wasn't one bad call. It was two horrific calls that cost Mississippi State that game, and they still almost won that game and should have won that game. So they, in my opinion, like it's like Arkansas last year against Auburn. Oh, Mississippi State won that game. They not, I guess, in the record books, but like they won that football game. And yes, they lost to LSU, but they also outgained LSU by 143 yards in that game. So, I mean, they are what they are. They're 3-2, but they're just a hair away from being 5-0. I mean, easily could be 5-0 right now. Now, the drop 8 defensive scheme that everyone has started to employ against them has really taken away their explosiveness offensively. But they've adjusted. I got to give them credit. Last year, they had a hard time adjusting in season, but they clearly spent the offseason adjusting. And I don't say the air raid is not grounded. It's just a different version of the air raid. They're taking the underneath routes. They're paper cutting their way to yards and wins right now. And defensively, Mississippi State is also pretty good. They're top 30 in the country, 318 yards a game. They're strong in the front seven. They're a suspect at times in the back end. They're 70th in the country and passing defense, giving up 230 yards a game. And obviously, that's not ideal when you're playing a team like Alabama who has some playmakers out wide. But the reality is the best part of the Alabama offense the past 2 weeks has not been the pass game. It's been the run game. Now, apparently, as I'm finding out more and more each week, apparently every broadcaster in America is contractually obligated to not criticize Bryce Young, even for obvious mistakes like, oh, I don't know, throwing interceptions from the 2 yard line, which ultimately end up costing your team the game. But he's shown, if you're being objective, he's shown he's really good. I'm not saying he's not good. He's really good. But he's also shown that he's human the past 2 weeks. He's still developing, guys. He's not all the way there. There's no coincidence his two worst games by far this season have come on the road against Florida and last week at A&M. Yeah, he threw for 350 last week at A&M. But he was only 58% of his completion percentage, and he threw the ball 50 times. And if you watched it closely, he was missing some reads, he was indecisive at times, he was inaccurate at times. So there are some holes there. He's still really good, but he's not Tua. He's not Mac Jones from last year. He's not there yet. He probably will be, but it's not there right now. And that crowd at Wade Davis on Saturday night is going to be full blast. And it's just hard. It's just hard for defenses to play Mississippi State, to prepare to play for them, really, because it's like playing a triple option offense. On defense, you have to play in a way that you never play any other week of the season. You just have to play outside your comfort zone. And that's hard for any team, even Alabama. Like, Will Anderson has been a stud for Bama rushing the passer, but pass rushers just aren't really factors against Mike Leach offenses because you're only rushing three most of the time, and they get the ball out quick. So, and here's one more thing I love about this game. I love that Mississippi State has learned to be patient on offense and take the underneath stuff with how teams defend them by dropping eight. And by doing that, they're controlling the time of possession. They're fifth nationally in time of possession. And look, time of possession as it relates to winning games can be a very, very overrated stat. But if you're talking about covering a spread, it can be very important. Bama's just not going to have as many chances with the football if Mississippi State executes, and I think they probably going to have a good chance to do that. I was all ready to take Mississippi State in whatever points they were getting before this line came out, but honestly, I expected it to be higher. 17's a little low for me to like love this pick, but still, I think Mississippi State is a sneaky, decent team, and they're at home at night against Alabama, and yeah, Alabama's good, but they're going to be jacked up to play Alabama. Team, fans, whole nine yards. And I think they're good enough under those conditions to keep it within 17. They're not going to beat Alabama, but I think they can keep it within 17. It's going to be close. I wish it was just more like a 21-point spread, which is what I thought it would be. 17 kind of took me by surprise, but I still had this gut feeling. If you look at the situation here, you look at how these teams play, Alabama's going to win, but I like Mississippi State to cover the 17. Don't love it, but I'm still going to take it.
All right, that makes two differences so far. Next up, we're going to take a rare detour out west as Arizona State is making the short trip north to Utah for the game that will likely decide the Pac-12 South, as both teams are still undefeated in Pac-12 play. UCLA might have a say in the matter, but this will be a big one this weekend. Jaden Daniels is probably the best quarterback in the Pac-12, and Utah is riding high after a win in the Coliseum the other week. Or was that last week?
It was last week.
Last week. I've lost all concepts of time.
It was last week.
Utah is the home dog in this one, as the Sun Devils are favored by 1.5 over the Utes. I mean, that's basically a toss-up.
It is. Almost a pick.
I'm going to go with the home team to cover.
Home team. Going with the Utes. All right. Charlie, I think you might be wrong.
So that's an upset special.
That's an upset special. Take it.
I'll take it. I'm picking them to win.
All right. Win outright.
Yes.
All right. I like it. Actually, I don't like it because I think Arizona State is the better football team here. I'm going to disagree with you.
Well, I mean, I want us to also have differences. So.
Well, no. Don't do that. Pick who you think is going to win.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I mean, the line is 1.5.
Okay, like, that's fine. All right. But I think Arizona State's the better football team here. They have more weapons. They have the better quarterback. You mentioned Jaden Daniels. I'm a big believer in quarterback play being a decisive factor in games like this. I do not love the fact that it is at Utah at night. I will admit that. It's going to be a tough place to play with a mighty Utah student section, the Mus. But Arizona State has the best defense in the Pac-12 and the second best offense, the most balanced team in the conference right now. Jaden Daniels, you're right, Charlie. I do believe he's the best quarterback in the Pac-12. And he has some weapons to work with offensively. Ricky Pearsall, Curtis Hodges, two weapons to work with in the pass game. And Daniels has become a factor in the run game himself. Now, Utah, on the other hand, they just have not put it together offensively. They're lacking playmakers on the outside. They don't really have a feature back. They have a couple guys they roll in and out the running back position, but none of those are like really like true feature backs. And their starting quarterback, Charlie Brewer, through the first couple games, he just up and left a few games in the season. They started to work Cam Rising into the equation as well at quarterback. He just left. He just quit and is gone. So now Cam Rising, the former Texas transfer, he's taken over full time, and he's good-ish. He's fine. He's good. He's not an elite player. He's not Jaden Daniels. I do not think Arizona State is a playoff caliber team by any stretch of the imagination, but I fully expect them to win this game and also go on to win the Pac-12 South. Herm Edwards has done a good job holding together with all the offseason controversy. So give me Arizona State to win and to cover the 1.5. I really, really want to lock this up, but I'm going to hold
Still
off.
Still haven't made that decision, huh?
No, I have made the decision. Mm-hmm. I just haven't gotten to the game yet.
All right. Well, Lane Kiffin is making his much-anticipated return to Knoxville this weekend to take on the Vols under the lights. Ole Miss fans had to be relieved when that final KJ Jefferson pass fell incomplete last week. Kiffin looked like he was going to go into cardiac arrest at any moment.
Did you see him literally praying on the sidelines?
Yeah, praying on the sidelines in the final drive, and rightfully so.
Yeah, rightfully so, absolutely.
The Vols beat South Carolina 45-20 last weekend and are actually starting to look like a competent football team.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Competent, yeah. I like that word.
Hooker threw 3 touchdowns last weekend and will probably have a good amount of success on Saturday because the Ole Miss defense is just back to its old ways.
Yep. Well, at least for 1 week. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. It's 7:30 in Neyland Stadium, so it can get kind of rowdy.
Yeah.
Although I feel like Ole Miss is just like, they just, like, ignore. I feel like teams take on the persona of their coach. And, like, Lane Kiffin just ignores all of that.
It'd be so awesome they came out. They all came out. There were, like, boxes of popcorn.
Yeah.
It'd be freaking hilarious
just
if they did that.
Toss their popcorn in there and munch on it.
That'd be hilarious. By the way, why didn't Tennessee hold off 1 week and do their blackout at night?
I don't know.
That's idiotic. Anyways. It's dumb.
I expect this to turn into another exciting Ole Miss shootout. I think Ole Miss ultimately has more offensive weapons and will end up outscoring the Vols. I'm taking Ole Miss to cover, win and cover.
Okay, before I get into this, Charlie, you know, I do want to go back. I'm going to lock up, going back a couple games here, I'm locking up Texas -5.5 against Oklahoma State. Lock that up for me, okay? Lock that up. All right. Yes, I was giving you junk for being indecisive, but there I wasn't indecisive myself. Anyway, Ole Miss, Tennessee. Tennessee, you're right, Charlie. They are playing better football than expected. I do agree with you there. But let's pump the brakes here for a second and look at the competition. All right, Missouri, flat out terrible. And it was a really bad matchup for Missouri in that game with Tennessee. What they do best offensively is run the football. Missouri obviously cannot stop the run game. South Carolina, yeah, they beat the crap out of South Carolina. It was like 28-0 or something like that early in that game. South Carolina, as we all know, is not a good football team. So maybe Tennessee is beating teams in a way that we'd expect them to be able to beat teams this year, but it's not like they're beating anyone with a pulse. All right, so let's just pump the brakes a little bit here. But, you know, you're not wrong here, Charlie. With Hendon Hooker at quarterback, they're much better and much more balanced offense than they were prior to that, but they still don't have the weapons on offense that Ole Miss does, not even close. Now, my obvious concern in this game is that Ole Miss's defense is not very good, and that puts a lot of pressure on their offense to keep pace. But with Matt Corral, who, like, Charlie, right now, is Matt Corral the front runner for the Heisman Trophy?
I mean, if you're going to base it solely on quarterbacks, even offensive players, like stat-wise.
Usually it's a team that's contending for like a championship of some sort, and Ole Miss is not going to be a contender, but I don't know, among those major contenders, like, who is putting a major number? C.J. Stroud for Ohio State now? Like, I don't know. I think Matt Corral right now is certainly up there, if not leading the Heisman race right now. I know it's still very early, but, I mean, this guy is awesome. And with him at quarterback, they've been able to keep pace with their defense not playing, especially like last week, not playing well at all against Arkansas. But I will say, in defense of the Ole Miss defense, last week was the first time that a team has just embarrassed them the way they were embarrassed every single week last year. They gave up over 600 yards, I think like over 650 to Arkansas. But prior to that game, they had not given up more than 451 yards in a single game. So they're still not good, but they are improved from where they were last year. And I think the Ole Miss offense is good enough and balanced enough to exploit any deficiency a defense has, and Tennessee has some deficiencies on defense. They're 12th in the SEC in pass defense. That's not a good recipe against Matt Corral, who, again, I think very well could be leading the Heisman Trophy conversation right now. At the end of the day, I just think the Rebels have too much firepower, and they're going to use that firepower and just enough defense to stop Tennessee's momentum, bring them back down to earth, and Kiffin is going to walk out of Neyland Stadium in his return, which is like an underrated, I feel like this is an underrated storyline this week. Kiffin going, I know Tennessee's not on the national radar, but Lane Kiffin going back to Tennessee after how that ended, all the bitterness there. I think this is an underrated little storyline. It's fun to watch. I'm very excited to watch this game. But I think that Kiffin's going to get the last laugh and walk out of there with the dub.
All right.
Well, and cover the three.
Okay. Well, we always say the best game for last. And this week, with number 11 Kentucky traveling to Athens, it truly is the best game for college football fans this weekend. Both the Cats and the Dogs are undefeated, and with this game could very likely decide the SEC East champion for the season. Kentucky has been great so far, with the offense being led by Will Levis.
Levis.
Who was 14 of 17 for 82% last week against LSU. Granted, it was LSU. Overall, he's thrown for 989 yards with 8 touchdowns and 6 interceptions.
He's been okay.
Yeah. Their greatest challenge this season came at South Carolina at night, where they won 16-10. Now, South Carolina can be a hard place to play, like I said, at night.
Yeah, but South Carolina's also terrible.
I know.
They're terrible.
But I think Samford will be even louder, obviously, than South Carolina. But yeah, also louder than the Arkansas game.
You think it will be? Because that was, we were jacked up for that game.
I think it will be.
Be elite. Everybody be elite.
Yes. I don't love the injury situation.
I don't either.
That we're in.
You know, I'm concerned about that. I'm always concerned about everything, but I'm concerned about that.
I think we might get a few guys back this week, but they probably won't be 100%.
Well, at this point in the year, very few people are like 100%. It's like,
well, I mean, we want to be close to life.
Yeah, we want to be as close as possible, yes.
Being able
you're
to
right,
play.
Right.
I think the Dogs will win this one. The spread's 24. I was going to pick Georgia, but now I'm going back to Kentucky.
Will we score enough to cover the 24? That's a good defense.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Kentucky.
Charlie's picking Kentucky. Charlie.
And I'm going to go and lock, because I have my upset special.
Okay.
I'm going to go back up quickly and lock Texas A&M.
Oh, I considered it strongly.
With a question?
I like it. If it was, I wish it was like 7, but I like it. I think it's a good lock. It's a good lock.
What's your take on Georgia?
All right, so hopefully you guys listened to my full breakdown of this game on Wednesday, but for those of you who didn't, I'll give you a quick little recap here. Kentucky is 6-0. Kentucky is good. Kentucky is physical. Kentucky has multiple NFL players. But at the same time, Kentucky also is not on Georgia's level. They just aren't. They have done a good job this year.
Okay, I'm going to stop you. I'm picking Georgia to cover.
So what, I just changed your mind?
No, I started thinking about how loud we'll be.
Yeah, are you going to learn this Georgia team is different? You're learning. I love it. You're learning.
I just told you I was going to pick Georgia, and then I went back to Kentucky. I'm writing it down.
Okay,
I'm not
going to
change my mind
Georgia.
Again. Okay. I'm picking UGA.
Lock it in.
I mean, heck, at this point, we should just lock it up.
Are you going to give us the Bama treatment? Or you just pick, like, the principal play is just pick Georgia to cover every time?
I
don't know if I'm ready to go there yet.
I mean, if I do, I feel like I'll jinx us.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's, yeah. But we got to get over it, Charlie. It's a different team.
Sorry.
It's like Josh said earlier in the week, old Georgia syndrome. Got to get over it.
Well,
we're going to cure ourselves
like
of this.
I'm like that with everything.
I'm not like that with everything, but with Georgia football, I definitely am.
I'm like that with everything.
It's very hard to overcome the years of trauma.
I'm not going to change it. You may continue.
Okay, so yeah. Kentucky 6-0. But it's been, they beat who they've had to beat. That's been all the teams have been put in front of them. But it's a lot of smoke and mirrors, guys. They are plus 24, plus 24 yards on the year when their total yards differential. They are skating by. All right, they don't what they had to do. Got to give them credit. And good teams find a way to win. That's why I say they're a good team. But they are certainly not dominating anyone. And people want to give us junk about our schedule being soft. Kentucky hasn't played a schedule that's, I don't want to say it's not near as strong as ours, but if you look at some of these strength of schedule metrics out there, we're top 5 in the country, which is one of the things that makes me very, it's very comical to hear people talk about how, well, you know, Georgia, you know, they haven't played anybody. Every time we beat somebody, it's, oh, you still haven't played anybody. It's like, okay, cool, whatever. But Kentucky's only plus 24 yards on the year. They outgained Tennessee Chattanooga Charlie by 18 yards. They were outgained by Florida by 160 yards and won that game because Florida made critical mistakes. They rushed for 340 against Missouri and 330 against LSU. But as I said earlier, Missouri is dead last in America in rush defense. LSU's giving up over 200 yards a game on the ground against Power 5 teams. Yeah, they held Louisiana Monroe to 88 total yards. But here's another team that's dead last in something. Louisiana Monroe is dead last in the FBS in total offense. They're 4-0 in the SEC. Good for them. They've won the games. But they've beaten Missouri, South Carolina, and Florida by a combined 20 points. All right? combined 20 points. They are good. They've done enough to win those games. But that doesn't mean they're on our level. Both things can be true there. And yes, they are a top 25 rushing offense. Yes, they have the SEC's leading rusher in Chris Rodriguez. He's really good. Yeah, they have a dual threat quarterback. All of that's true. And I do think this is going to be the biggest challenge we've had to date in terms of stopping an opposing rushing attack. But you know what else is true? What they are best at plays right into our strengths. Their rushing offense versus our rush defense. And as good as they are at running the football, and they're good, we are just better at stopping the run. They're number 23 in actually rush offense. We are number one in rush defense. And we have completely shut down some really good rush offense and running backs, despite what the haters want to say out there. Now on offense, I will say it will not be easy moving the football on them. They are very well coached, and we're still banged up on offense, as Charlie mentions. JT Daniels is almost certainly not going to play again in this game. But here's what I'm coming back to. We got this guy named Todd Monken, who sits up in the press box during the game. And he is the best coordinator in the country that no one is talking about. And despite all of our injuries, our offense has continued to just hum along because Monken is flexible enough to fit his offense and our game plans every week around the players that we have available. Week to week, just it's gonna be the mash unit out there. But whoever's out there, he's been able to work a game plan to fit what they do best. And Kentucky's good on defense, but they're missing two key pieces on the interior of that defensive line, both out for this game, McCall and Oxendine. So I expect the game plan to be similar this week to what it's been the past couple of weeks. Come out, try to establish a run, force them to bring bodies around the line of scrimmage, and then take shots against man coverage off of play action. And I think the run game will once again be key on both sides if we can limit their run game, which, again, will be a challenge. They're really good on the offensive line. They have good running back, dual threat quarterback. It's going to be a challenge. They scheme it up really well. But if we can limit their run game and have a good amount of success ourselves on the ground, I think we win this game going away. 24 points is a lot of points. I get the hesitation, Charlie. In previous years, I'd be like, no way I'm touching this, especially against a really well-coached Kentucky team. And this is also like, Charlie, think about this. This is normally in years past where we'd be screaming from the rafters that this is a classic trap game, right?
Yes.
You come off the win on the road at Auburn. You got a bye week and then Florida facing you coming up here in the next couple of weeks. This is a classic trap game. And in past years, that would really, really concern me. But this team is making me a believer. And Kentucky has no business winning this game unless we just hand it to them and self-destruct. Honestly, they really don't have any business staying that close in this game unless we kind of just hand it to them. Now, if we do that and turn the ball over a ton, miss tackles, that kind of thing, I will give Kentucky credit and say they are good enough to jump up and beat us if we do that kind of thing, if we beat ourselves. But it would take us really wetting the bed here in this game. And I just keep going back to it. I think this team is different. I think I've seen enough to say this team is different. No team is immune to not playing well. There's no team out there that is invincible. I do not believe in that. We saw that last week with Alabama. But I just trust this team in a way I have not trusted other Georgia teams, maybe ever in my lifetime as a Georgia fan. So 24 is a lot. I'm not super confident we're going to cover, but you know what? I'm going to lean that way instead of taking Kentucky here. So I'm going to go dogs to win and Georgia to cover the 24. All right. I'm trying to learn, Charlie. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to get better at trusting this team. And I think I do. I'm getting closer and closer. Now, Charlie, before you get out of here. All right. Real quick.
You don't have an upset special.
Exactly. All right. Before we get out of here, we talked about this a little bit last week. The slate of games we put out here is mainly SEC games because we think our listeners in SEC country want to listen to these games, right? But these aren't necessarily the games that we feel like super confident that we would bet on, right? And so I was thinking, you know, over the past couple of weeks, it might be a good idea for me or you as well, if you want to give our listeners some of the games I'm actually going to bet on that don't make the slate because we don't think people want to hear like a full breakdown of these games.
Okay.
Sound decent? So I'm just going to quickly rapid fire throw out some games that I'm going to put some of my own money on this week. These are games that I feel really good about. So I got Oregon coming off the bye, -13.5 over Cal. Give me Oregon, -13.5. I think that's a big play
right
here.
Isn't it on Friday night?
I think it is on a Friday.
Like
I think
horrible.
It's Friday night.
And it doesn't even kick until like 10:30 Eastern time or something.
Yep. Well, because it's on the West Coast, yeah.
Right.
So I probably won't be
Bad
watching
idea.
It. But they got to get eyes. That's how the Pac-12's got to do that, get eyes on the
Who's
games.
Who's going to watch it at 10:30?
But nobody watches it when they're put up against other games
just,
on Saturday.
It's bad all around.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm thinking Oregon, 13.5. I think Cal just can't score. Oregon's come off the loss and they had a bye week to get right. I think Oregon wins this game by maybe 20 plus points. I'm also, last week Nebraska let me down, but I cannot believe this line. Charlie, have you seen this? Nebraska -4 on the road in Minnesota. Minnesota lost to Bowling Green, guys, at home. Bowling Green is terrible. So Nebraska -4 over Minnesota. I'm going to, maybe I'm a fool again, but I'm taking Nebraska -4. Lock it up, Charlie. Add that to my lock list, okay? Lock this one up. Nebraska -4 over Minnesota on the road. All right, you talked about I don't have an upset special. The ones on the slate, I wasn't just going to have a reach upset special. I didn't want to reach because I didn't like any of those upset specials. Here's what I do like. UCLA +2.5 at Washington. I think UCLA is going to cover. I think UCLA is going to win this game outright. Washington simply cannot move the football. They are not good on offense. So it's going to be the Bruins to win outright on the road in Seattle. And then my last one here, Texas Tech -16.5 at Kansas. I don't understand this line. Kansas, the closest margin that they've had in a game, they've lost I think they've won one game. But the closest margin they've had in losses is 19 points. Texas Tech, I know they got a backup quarterback in there, but Henry Columbia's played a good bit for them. I'd like Texas Tech -16.5 at Kansas. So there's four bonus games for you guys that I just want to throw out there that I'm actually putting some of my money on. So I want to throw that out there. We had some people ask me, like, hey, what are you actually gambling on? And I thought, hey, you know what? I can throw those games out there on the show. So there
Sounds
you go.
Good. Gamble responsibly.
Responsibly. Just have fun with it. But all right, guys. That's it, right, Charlie?
That's it.
All right, guys. Well, it's another big one between the hedges this weekend. Hope you guys can make it out. If not, do your thing. Enjoy your college football Saturday. Should be a lot of fun. And we got to enjoy these guys. I mean, Charlie, we're at the halfway point. We're past the halfway point. It's crazy. So enjoy it while it's here, guys. Thank you for listening. For Charlie, I'm Tyler. And as always, go Dawgs.